When you are vulnerable, people will be vulnerable with you. If you open up, others open up. And it was really important for him to go there, to be vulnerable, to talk very openly about relationship with his mother, with his father, and how it was affecting him. I feel it's really brave and courageous what he's done. And I have so much respect for him as an artist and as a human being for letting me in to his family and trusting me to tell their story.
Welcome to the Dementia Research Project. I'm Matt DeRay, and in this podcast, I explore the history, innovation, and champions in and around the world of dementia. Ross Killeen is an award-winning Irish filmmaker and the founder of production company Motherland. His latest documentary, Don't Forget to Remember, highlights the personal impact of Alzheimer's disease and has received acclaim for its moving portrayal of those affected.
Hi, Ross. How are you?
Hi, Matthew. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Before we get into this documentary, Ross, could you share a bit about your filmmaking journey leading up to Don't Forget to Remember?
Okay, yeah. I'm director and producer based in Dublin in Ireland. I have my own company, which is called Motherland. And we've done kind of a lot of commercial work, but I'm trying to build a film side of the company, because film is something I've always been very passionate about, and in particular documentary and telling true stories and doing it authentically. So in 2019, I made a film called 99 Problems, which was about the murky world of the Irish ice cream business. It followed an ice cream man around Dublin called Pinky. And that was a short documentary that I'd wanted to make for years, but never had the time. And finally found the time to do it and did it. And then that got into, it was a short doc, got into Tribeca Festival and Sheffield, and really gave me enthusiasm to do more of this. So that was cool. And then I followed that with a feature documentary about an Irish musician called Damien Dempsey. And the film is called Love Yourself Today. And Damien Dempsey is an Irish singer who does these shows every Christmas where he sings about issues that affect people. He sings about social issues. He sings about depression, suicide, addiction, things that really affect people and trauma that people experience. And people go to his shows, and it's really an amazing experience to be at one of his shows, because everyone's like crying and letting out all this stuff that they carry with them all year, and they let it all out in at these shows. So people say it's like a religious experience, so they call it the Church of Damo. But one of his songs is it's the chorus goes, "Love yourself today," and it's a kind of a positive message that he tries to give out to people. So the film was basically, half the film was a concert film showing the concert and seeing what that experience is to be at a Damien Dempsey show. And then the other half of the film was following some of his fans and understanding what happened in their lives and why his music is important to them. So that was my first feature documentary, and that was released in the cinemas here in Ireland and was really received very well. And then I was like, okay, what film will I do next? And happened, and I wasn't really sure what I would follow this film with, and wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And it was quite daunting, the idea of making another film, because you put so much time and effort and you invest so much personally in these things. So I'd known the artist Asbestos for quite a while, just known him from being around Dublin, really. And we'd done a couple of small things together, kind of commercial work, but we'd never done anything as substantial as a film together. And I bumped into him one day. He's basically a street artist from Dublin, and he was doing a big mural on our main street. And he was taking a break for it from, he was taking a break from it. And we bumped into each other on the street, and I hadn't seen him in a couple of years because COVID, we couldn't see people. So I was just asking him, how has he been and all that stuff? And he was telling me about his mother and how she had Alzheimer's. And it was really difficult for the family and for him and for his dad and brother and obviously for his mother. And they were getting their heads around all of it. And then I found myself telling him about my mum. And my mum had Lewy body dementia, and she passed away in 2019. And we were talking to each other and then realized, you know what, I haven't really talked about this before. I've talked to my family or whatever, but I've never really spoken to people openly about this and how it affected us and the family and everything. So looking back now, I felt it was very much a conversation killer. People don't really want to talk to you about it. Maybe you don't want to talk about it because it's a very difficult subject. It's very hard. People don't know what to say when you tell them your mom has dementia. It's people don't know what to say to you. If you say my mom has cancer, they can ask questions. What stage? Where is the cancer? All those kind of things. There's a pattern to a conversation. And not to say cancer isn't serious, but like people can talk about it. There's enough kind of education around it. But whereas Alzheimer's and dementia, it's one of those things. And just talking to Asbestos, he was saying it's because people really think about themselves in that situation. And it's terrifying. The idea of losing your memory is so terrifying that people don't really want to talk about it and don't know how to talk about it. So the two of us basically kept talking to each other and we decided maybe we should try and work together and collaborate and make something in this space, something that could help start conversations or just help people talk about it or educate people in some way. We thought we'd do some kind of short film or maybe some art installation or something along those lines. But then there was this fund became available in Ireland. It's from the Arts Council in Ireland. It's called Real Art, or EEL Art, so it's specific to film projects. And we submitted an application and we were accepted, and next thing we were making a film.
Speaking about Asbestos, firstly, this must be such a heightened, raw experience because he's currently going through it with his family. So what was his mindset when you were having these initial conversations?
Don't forget to remember, it is a feature documentary. It's about an artist, Asbestos, trying to come to terms with his mother's Alzheimer's diagnosis. The film is about family. It's about the fragility of memory. And it's about the process of art as healing. But mainly, I think it's a love story, really, between Helena, who is Asbestos's mother, and Matt, who is his father, who is her primary carer. It's their story, their family story, but it's also, I always say, it's my story too. Everything that happens in this film is something that we went through in our family. Everything that's in there. There's nothing in there that we didn't experience. And I think it's not only is it their family, it's my family, but it's the story for many families around the world, I think. And a lot of people don't realize what goes on behind closed doors, the daily routine of caring for someone, keeping things comfortable for them, doing the same things every day and keeping things consistent. We're trying to show that in the film. Yes, it's lonely, it's isolating, but there's so much love and commitment there as well. And with this film, we tried to find some hope and some light in this very difficult subject. But to answer your question, because I haven't actually answered your question, what was Asbestos's mindset? His art is all about being vulnerable, being a vulnerable man, and being vulnerable. When you are vulnerable, people will be vulnerable with you. If you open up, others open up as well. And it was really important for him to go there, to be vulnerable, to talk very openly about relationship with his mother, with his father, and how it was affecting him. And I feel it's really brave and courageous what he's done. And I have so much respect for him as an artist and as a human being for letting me in to his family and trusting me to to essentially tell their story in a sensitive way.
And I must say, it takes courage on your part too, Ross, because I guess as a creative who's doing a podcast about dementia, sometimes these discussions do take you back to that raw place. Mm. And how did you navigate that tension and use it to positively create?
Yeah, I was very wary of going back. My mom passed away in 2019 and But then COVID happened and suddenly time goes by and you're like, you move on. And you, my dad moved on, got his life back in a way, and was able to do things that he couldn't do when he was caring for my mom. And you move on. And part of me was like, why am I going back and confronting this subject again and getting close to a family who are going through it and putting myself in the room with that family? And why am I doing this? Why don't I go and make a documentary about flowers and rainbows or something? I don't know. But there was some, I don't know, some, maybe going back to what we discussed earlier about how I hadn't really talked about it. I hadn't. And it almost goes back to the previous film that I mentioned, Love Yourself Today, where we carry this trauma with us. And until we recognize that trauma and talk about that trauma, we'll never heal from it. So my mum's dementia was very traumatic for me and my family. And maybe it's something that I'd never really addressed, never really tackled it or spoke about it. And maybe this film was healing for me. In the film, it's about the process of art being healing, and actually the process that you see Asbestos, he makes these chalk drawings which are based on his mum's memories, and the process of making those drawings has brought him closer to her, and it's the memories that he's reflecting in these drawings can never be destroyed because he's talking about them and bringing them back, and they live on. And so I think the making of this film has made me go back and think about my own relationship with my mom, and it's made me think about that. And I think it's been, yeah, a form of healing for me.
And I just want to thank you for making it, right? Because I can speak for myself. Watching it, you don't see these stories on the screen. Not as raw, not as, there's a lot of uncomfortable truths and things that happen, yeah. And which may not be blockbuster Disney movies, but I think that's why it'll speak to a lot of people who've gone through this. So thank you for that. What was some of the challenges you faced filming this documentary, which are different compared to your previous work because of you're dealing with persons with dementia? So how did you change your style or production?
I don't think changed the style of production. I think it was with the previous film, I always like to be very honest with people from the get-go. I think that's really important when you're making a documentary about a sensitive subject and you're talking with real people. You need to really guide them through the process. You need to be really upfront from the beginning. Here is the film we want to make. It's going to be tough. We're not sugarcoating this. We're not trying to shy away, but we are going to do it in a very sensitive and dignified manner. And you please trust me on that. And we will have conversations all the way through this. And if there's anything you're uncomfortable with, you talk to me and we just keep a conversation going. So I had a lot of conversations with Matt, with Peter, with Helena, with Billy, Asbestos's brother, Billy. And before we filmed anything, we talked a lot about what we were going to do, what the film was going to be. It's going to be, we're making this for the cinema. People are going to watch it. Are you ready for that? Is everyone happy with this and what we're trying to say and do here? And I think that was really important. And it was similar with Love Yourself Today. It was like, in Love Yourself Today, people are really talking about very personal things that happened to them. And I wanted to make it very clear that we needed to go deep. The film, that's what the film is about. It's about people really going deep. And it was very similar with Don't Forget to Remember. Let's lay it out here. And yeah, we just had a lot of discussions. And then when Asbestos came in to view the first edit, there was no surprises. This is the film we said we were going to make, and here it is. You're not sitting there in the edit suite and someone going, hey, you never told me it was going to be like this. And then Asbestos came in, he didn't want to change anything. Matt came in to watch it himself. He didn't want to change anything. Then Helena came in with Matt, and then the whole family came in. So everyone watched it before it got finished or went live. So we had a lot of conversations in that edit suite. But in terms of the production process, like, we started filming, and really there's three layers to the film. Obviously, people listening to this podcast probably haven't seen it. So it's important to, articulate what the film is. But it's three layers of the film. So one layer was really to sit in the room and observe the routine of caring for someone. The daily routine of Matt and Helena, they're doing crosswords every day. They're watching TV. They're going for walks. It's the same stuff happening every day, but it's slightly different. And it's like I said, it's lonely and isolating, but there's so much love there and commitment. And what's really trying to highlight that too. And then the second layer of the film was to observe or document the artist and the process. So we see asbestos and we learn about his process from the ideation of what the project is about to the actual process of making these. He makes these chalkboards, chalk drawings, which are based on Helena's memories. And then he puts them out in the open and they get destroyed. They get altered. They get changed. People scribble on them. And it's a metaphor for Alzheimer's and memory and how our memories get changed and altered. But the point is that the chalk drawings get destroyed, but the memories survive. So as much as we lose our memories, or our memories can never die because they live on in other people. Then the third part of the film was really to give Helena a very strong voice in the film, because when people get Alzheimer's or dementia, they quickly become forgotten, I feel, or it's easy for them to be forgotten. And we wanted to retrieve her memories and tell her story and make that a huge feature in the film. So they were the three parts to the film.
I was going to ask after this, I will tell you my favorite part of this documentary was asbestos in front of his chalkboard drawing towards the end, and he just wipes it off.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite comprehend it in the cinema. It took me a while just to feel, I guess, what you intended. But it's one of these things, I mean, I think back to my experience in Sheffield Docs, it's one of the things that remain. It's really also important what you said about your third point, right? Building that memory of Helena.
Yeah.
I suppose when you built up this portrait and you use a lot of home movies, home footage, how did you build it up? I suppose it was discussions with the family.
Yeah.
Like, what was that process like? Because how did you get into their head and try to describe their mother in almost your imagination?
Well, I always joke about this because I was horrified when I basically said to Matt, who's asbestos's father, okay, could you give me all your home videos? We want to digitize all the home videos and get them into the edit and tell the backstory of the family through the home videos. And he basically handed me two tapes. And one tape was like a trip that himself and Helena did in America. And half the tape is Helena has left the camera rolling and it's footage of her feet while they're driving in the car. And then the other tape was a trip that they took to visit asbestos when he was studying in Rome. And I was like, okay, that's it. Just these two tapes. So there's no footage of asbestos as a child or his family, that they just didn't film anything. So it was quite interesting in that sense, because I was like, okay, how are we going to tell the backstory of this family without any home footage? So necessity is the mother of all invention, and we had to be creative with how we did this. So I had to go into my own family footage, and I used a lot of footage from my own family. So there's footage of me in there, there's footage of my brother, there's footage of my mum and aunties and cousins and everything. It's Helena talking about her life, but we're using footage from other people's lives to tell that story. And it actually really worked. It's one of those things where you're like, you set out to make a film and you make these rules of what the film is, what it isn't. And you try and stick to those rules, but then you try a few things in the course of the filmmaking process, or you have to try things, or you have to come up with creative solutions. And then you realize, you know what, this is how we should have done it in the beginning anyway, because it's like, this is the collective story. This story is so many people's story. It is this family story, but it is bigger than that too. And I love that sense of like, using other people kind of hammers home that message that this is a universal story, that and that memory is something that's, we all have these milestones and memories in life within families, and it's a celebration of that in a way.
You hit the nail on the head, right? This will resonate, and sure, it already has resonated with a lot of people. So what's been some of the feedback, some of the stories you've heard from people who've watched it?
It's been amazing. It's like you said at the start, it's like this is not a Disney blockbuster Marvel movie. So it's very difficult. I have really good friends and I'm like, they're like, what's your film about? I'm like, oh, it's about an artist whose mom has Alzheimer's. They're like, oh, I'm not going to see that. No, you're okay. It's very difficult to get people to go to the cinema to watch a film like this. But the people who do go are really moved by it, and we've had an amazing response on social media, like people really compelled to share their experience after seeing the film. It's a film, I believe, that stays with people. It's not a film that you walk out of and you completely forget about straight away, and I think that's really interesting. We haven't broken any box office records here in Ireland with this film. Beetlejuice was released the same weekend, and it's funny watching the two. The marketing campaign for Beetlejuice, that's what people want to go to the cinema. They want escapism. And like what this film is almost the opposite of that. It's you're confronting something that's difficult. But I wouldn't have it any other way. As a filmmaker, these are the kind of films I want to make. And I'm hopeful that it will have a long journey. And we just released it in Ireland. We want to get it out to international audiences. We want people to see it around the world. And obviously we were in Sheffield in June, which is where you've seen it, which is amazing that it's resonating with you. And I'm sure it will resonate with audiences around the world, because it's very much a universal thing. And I think it's just encouraging people to have the courage to go and face these things and not keep them bottled up and hide away from something that it's affecting so many people. And strangely, it's not something that there's enough conversation around. I have been really happy. The people who go and see the film really respond to it. And we've had some amazing screenings where we do Q&As after. And some of the Q&As have got very heavy. People getting emotional, and we're getting emotional, and it's bringing back a lot of memories and difficult times. But yeah, I've just been really happy with the response. It's been reviewed very well, and yeah, we just hope to get it out to bigger audiences.
What's been the feedback from folks in the healthcare space, in the nonprofit space? Because I suppose you are really helping them by pushing forward media which talks about these uncomfortable things.
I hope so. This is just one case. This film does not explain what Alzheimer's dementia is. There's no talking heads from experts, and I'm not an expert. All I have is my own lived experience. And same with asbestos. We're not going, this is what it is, and this is what you should do, and this is how to fix it. And it's not that kind of movie. But that's not to say there isn't learnings that can be taken from it, or education aspects to it. And I do like to think that, yeah, it could educate people. It just makes people think. Anything that makes people think is educational. Anything that forces you to see something in a different way is certainly educational. It might not be the traditional means of teaching, but anything that stimulates the brain, yeah, I think can help to explain and it's really just to show a certain situation and how a family is coping with it is helpful to other families trying to cope with it, I think.
What's next for Don't Forget to Remember, Ross? How can people support, reach out, learn more about the project?
We have a website called don'tforgettoremembervideo.com. And yeah, we're very early in our journey. We've done festival circuits around Ireland, really, in the UK, but we haven't gone beyond those territories yet. And we really want to. We're just figuring out how to do that. We're self-distributing this film as well at the moment. So we've just released it in the cinemas here in Ireland the last few weeks. it's World Alzheimer's Month right now in September. So we released the film in conjunction with that and felt this would be a good time to release it for the awareness side of things. But yeah, like I would love to get this film available in Kuala Lumpur, in Europe, in America, South America, all over the world. I'm working on it. But don't forget to remember film.com is where all the information is, and any kind of updates, that's where we will be posting them. But if there's any film festivals in Kuala Lumpur who want to get in touch, who want to bring this film out there, I'd love to hear from you. We want to get the film out to a wider audience, and that's the goal, and try and start these conversations around the world. Yeah, and finally, we have an Instagram page as well. And don't forget to remember film on Instagram. So yeah, if you want to get in touch and talk to us, well, we're there.
Great. I'll put the links in the podcast description so everybody can check it out.
Amazing.
Last question, Ross. As you've gone through this journey and this experience, do you have any advice for creatives, filmmakers, anybody who wants to tell the story of dementia and do it justice? And
tell your own story, be honest. I would encourage people not to be afraid to tackle this subject. It's really difficult. And I think people maybe shy away from it because it's not a popular thing, or not a, for want of a better word, it's not a sexy subject. It's hard to find an audience who, so I think a lot of people might pick other subjects or focus on other things for that reason. And I think I think people need to be brave and need to be open to it. It's something that's happening, but we can't change it. It's happening. It's happening to many people around the world, and we need to talk about it, to make sense of it, to help each other. Because I know when we were going through it as with our family, I was the only person going through this in the world. So that way you feel no one understands. But actually, when you start talking to people, loads of people understand exactly what you're going through, and they can talk to you about it, and you can talk to them about it. And the simple act of having a conversation and just getting something off your chest is powerful, and can really help lighten the load of this weight that you're carrying around with you all the time. So I would encourage creative people to not to shy away from tackling this subject if they feel strongly about it, if it's something that's affecting them, but approach it in the right way and be honest. And I think that's important.
Thanks so much, Ross. And that's a great way to end. Is there anything else you want to add, or any questions I should have asked but didn't?
No, I don't think so. I think we've gone. Just the final thought is the memories can't be destroyed. As long as we continue to share the memories and talk about them, the memories can never be destroyed. And that's the key message from the film. And I think that's something to leave you all with, that the memories can never be destroyed. As long as we continue to talk and share those memories, they live forever.
Perfect. Thanks, Ross. That's been great.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks for listening. If you want more of these type of stories, interviews, and guests, please follow the Dementia Research Project wherever you get your podcasts. Onwards and upwards.